I know you've seen most of us, and hopefully you've read a little bit in the book of Ephesians, that we're in the book of Ephesians. And I know Denny Ferguson shared last week, wherever Denny went, last week about the what we are according to what the Bible says, Ephesians 2:10. Remember what he said, what each one of us, what we are? A masterpiece. And that's found in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The thing is we're not just a masterpiece. There's several masterpieces. You probably have seen these, you know, some of these around. And they're masterpieces, but these masterpieces that God's made us is not just to be on display. If you read that verse, it says God created, we are God's handiwork or masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So it's not just that everybody sees us, but there's a work that he has for every one of us to do and to be involved with. How many of you like mysteries? Do you like mysteries, whether it's reading it or a movie? How many of you are really good at figuring out a mystery? Like you could pretty quickly like, I know what that's about, or oh, I know what's going to happen here, and I'm not. So I just watch it for what it is, and I said, I'm not even going to think about what's going to happen, just take it as it comes. But do you know every one of us is in a mystery? Our life, I'm sure every one of us right now has a mystery going on in our life. Do you have things that you don't know? You don't know what's, even from our past, you said, why? The why did that happen, God? What's going on over there? And then we look at our future. What's going to happen? Why is this happening? God's got a mystery. I know if you guys have back in the conference room back there in the administration building, there's been a saying on the whiteboard there for months, I think. It's been here. And it basically says, will you, I think it's what it says, will you walk with me in my mysteries? Walking with God in the midst of the mysteries. And Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this mystery, one of the mysteries of God. One of the mysteries that he has, and says, and Paul was talking about the calling on his life. He said, the mystery made, this Apostle Paul writing is made known to me by revelation. In reading this then, because he's writing this letter to Ephesians, you will be able to understand my insight to the mystery, which was not made known to people in other generations. So what he's saying is that all these other people, all the people who wrote the Old Testament, for 1,500 years and 40-something authors that was inspired by the Holy Spirit, none of them fully understood this mystery. He says, but now it is made known to us. And this is one of the mysteries. He begins to reveal to us one of the mysteries. And it's found in Ephesians 3:6. See if that helps. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Up to this time, everything was geared toward Israel. All the promises were geared toward being ancestral with Abraham and being a part of that. But God had this mystery going on, that he had this plan that he had, that there was going to come a time that Jesus came, that not just the Jews, but every person could be a part of the promises of God. And he goes on, he talks about there, in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, says, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. So this wasn't something that he was thinking, you know, somewhere maybe about 1,000 years after man. He says, well, let's try this. Let's change the book. You know, let's write something else. This was something that he had planned before earth was created. Before time began, he had this plan. And he goes on in another place in Colossians. It talks about the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations. This is Colossians 1:26. But is now disclosed to the Lord's people, which is this: Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you know a lot of the songs that we sang this morning was about God with us? And this is one of the mysteries that we have now, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Have you ever started something, started a book or started watching a movie or something, and just was like, this is just too confusing? And you turn it off. It's like, I'm done with this. Do you know we could do that with life? We could go along and things just get so confusing or so frustrating or just like, and you just want to turn it off. The Department of U.S. Forest Service, they have written up a list of things you can do if you ever get lost. If you're out there in the woods or you're out someplace and you just get lost. And it actually goes back to an acronym, and it's an acronym which is STOP. One of the first things they recommend if you're out and you're lost says, first of all, is you should be prepared that that's going to happen. Just prepare. There's something about preparing ourselves that there's going to be times in life we're not going to understand. We're not going to totally know what's going on or totally grasp. And as Christians, that's going to happen. It'd be great if we could say, you're going to know everything. There's never going to be a time of confusion. There's never going to be a time of frustration. There's never going to be a time you think, why God? Why did this happen? But it's going to happen. But in preparing, if you know that ahead of time, there's things we could do to prepare. One of the big things as Christians is found in Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. There's something about preparing life that we're having that relationship with God, that we're building our trust in him. I know I've shared it before in here about Gary Smalley. He was a professional Christian counselor for 30-something years, did seminars all over the United States and some around the world, written many books. But he said his entire life he dealt with fear. He just had this overwhelming fear until one day he realized that the main thing he needed to do is realize God knows everything is going to happen. And whatever happens to me, God's grace is going to be there for me. And it's not like God is going to forsake me. God is with me in all of that. In this word stop, the S basically is stop. It says, this is what the Forest Service says. As soon as you realize you may be lost, stop, stay calm, stay put. Panic is your greatest enemy. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. There's something when we're in the midst of a situation, it's good to stop and pray. And talk to God. Stop and begin to talk to him. And begin to trust. Begin to allow a settling, that calmness. We have a promise there. If we do that, the peace will come over us. The second, the T in this is think. This is what the Forest Service says. It says, go over in your mind how you got to where you are. What landmarks should you be able to see? Do not move at all until you have a specific reason to take a step. There's scriptures, Ephesians 6:17 talks about putting on the helmet of salvation. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and do not faint. Romans 12:2 talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. There's something about stopping, praying, and then getting God's heart and mind in the situation. What's going on here? What are you doing? Waiting on him. We're promised. If we wait on him, there's many promises in Scripture. If we wait on him, we will not be put to shame. The next one, the O, is observe. It says, get out your compass and determine the directions based on where you are standing. Do not walk aimlessly. don't know if you remember when Tom Milligan shared about when we talked about heritage and about our compass. And the main thing, compass that God's given us is this. He's given his word. Sometimes, though, many times, what we need to know is not exactly written in black and white. But that's why he also gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's found in John 16:13, says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." God has given us ability to understand some of these mysteries. And in the midst of it, it's knowing that we're not alone. Even when we're lost, even when we feel that, we're not alone. He is with us. He promised he would never leave us. Hebrews 13:5, never leave us, never forsake us. He is with us. His presence is with us. We just heard Christ in us, the hope of glory. Pastor Tom shared a few weeks ago how we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We're not alone. And we also have one another. God created us to be part of one another, not to be alone. That's why Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the assembling together of one another." Something that he knows, as our creator, the importance of having one another. The P, the last letter in this, the Forest Service said, "Based on your thinking and observations, come up with some possible plans, think them through, then act on one of them." Basically, they're saying, do something. Don't just sit down and die. Do something. James, in the book of James, says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." In our Christian life, sometimes, a lot of times, God's waiting on us to do something. A lot of times, he's already did or done what we needed, and he needs move. I remember years and years ago, when I was in college, I was just waiting and just saying, I was talking to this gentleman, an older gentleman, Christian man, and I was just talking to him about, you know, what I wanted to do, and I said, "No, I'm just waiting on hearing from God." And he told me, he says, "You know, it's easier to move or direct something that's moving than to try to get something to move." He says, "Do something." I don't know if you've ever read about the NASA and the space rockets, how much fuel it takes just to launch the rocket, just to get it going. So there's something about us moving and beginning to do something. And then, you know, we have in Romans 15:4, it talks about the fact that people who've come before us, that we can stop and look at other people's lives, that we can look at that what's going on. One of the things they suggest here is the fact of when you're looking, that you follow the water. If you're out lost, you follow where the water is. You know, how many times are we encouraged to follow the Holy Spirit? So a lot of times you follow the water, it'll lead you to more water. And where there's more water, there's usually civilization. And so it's just following these things and following after. And so we could look at this and realize that God's mysteries, that they don't have to be a devastating thing in our life. They don't have to stop us. We don't have to quit. We don't have to put the book down or turn off the movie or stop. Where some of us may have done that. Some of us may have just quit. Maybe you didn't quit, but you stopped moving. There's no sense of pursuing God. There's no sense of looking to him. There's no hope. There's because discouragements come in because that mystery got so frustrating. That mystery got so confusing, or with just outright, that's just outright wrong. You ever felt that? That's just wrong. That's just wrong, God. I mean, it's true. How many of you have felt that? That's just wrong, God. Not blaming God in some ways. But it's like, but God, you could have done something, and we could get discouraged. And we go back to Proverbs 3. We lean not on our own understanding. There's a point of faith in our Christian life where we lean on, not necessarily we got it all figured out, but the fact, you know, it's easier to trust somebody that you can really trust. If I'm lost and I have no idea, but I have somebody I just met and I know they're going to take care of me. And I know whatever they do, wherever they lead me, it's going to be good. I can either stay lost and be in the woods and die, or I can follow this person. And sometimes, even if I don't know where they're going or what's going on, it's who they are. And there's times in our life where we have to lean on God, not necessarily because we know where we're going and figure it all out, but it's because who he is. He's good. As Angie shared earlier, it's who he is. He's love. He's a good shepherd. Say, Lord, I just trust in you, and you're going to care for us. If we could have our musician come on up, please. If we go ahead and stand. I just felt it'd be good for us to make a declaration to the Lord. Did this come up? Yeah, still. To the Lord, that there's situations that you have in your life that we just present them as an offering to the Lord and just say to him, I trust you, God. I trust you, Lord. So if you got something, whether it's you got something figured out, there's a situation that's confusing, whether it's past, present, or future, if you just hold that up to the Lord and just say to him, I trust you, Lord. Let me say it again, I trust you, Lord. You know, there's possibly many times we have to say that in that situation. I trust you, God. And I encourage you to just keep saying that to him. I trust you, God. And believe he will give us wisdom. The Bible promises in Matthew 7, ask and will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. He will help us understand some way. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we do trust you, God. Even in the midst of the mysteries of you, God, even in the midst of not understanding, and maybe it might be years from now before we understand. Maybe there's times, as Holly shared, where it was years ago. Maybe it's something we'll never understand, but we trust you, God, that you're good. And you love us, God. And Jesus, you said you came that we may have life and have it to the fullest. And we welcome that promise, that blessing, Father. Continue in Jesus' name. Amen. If our personal ministry team would come up, these ones here, they're available to pray with you. Maybe you never really got to know. Maybe you don't know Jesus yet. I will tell you right now, just asking Jesus in your heart doesn't mean you know everything about Jesus. It's like the first step. It's the introduction. But I would encourage you, if you've never done that, to you don't have to be afraid of him. Out of any person, any living being in existence, the one least person that you have to be afraid of is God. Because he loves you more than anybody else. So I encourage you, come and let them pray with you. If there's anything else going on in your life that you want prayer, whether physical, spiritual, maybe you need somebody. You know, it's okay to come up without a reason. It's okay to say, well, I don't have any major thing. I'm not dying. I'm not sick. You know, I had some catastrophe in my life. I would just like prayer. That's okay. It's healthy to care for yourself and love yourself enough to let others pray for you and bless you. There's a scripture I want to finish with in found in Philippians 4. Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit, prompted him to write this. But it's a blessing, and I would encourage you to receive this. It's found... There's three verses. Says first one is that Philippians 4:13 says you could do all things, all this through him who gives you strength. And Philippians 4:19 says your God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And Philippians 4:23 says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Those are promises and blessings for every single one of us. So God bless you. Encourage you to come. Find somebody maybe you don't know before you leave or somebody and talk to them. One last reminder, next weekend we have a great youth conference here, Kingdom Youth Conference. So if you got some young people, encourage you to invite them. So God bless you.